Well, good morning, Green Valley. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We'll invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are closing out this series entitled Gifted, and we've been talking about spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts have been defined this way for us. It's a special ability given by God to every believer to serve others. You didn't get left out. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a special ability when you were saved by God. He chose it just for you to serve other people for his glory. Now, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, and we're going to continue that this morning. But we've also been asking the question, hey, you've been given a gift, but the real question is are you gifted? The word gifted simply means revealing a gift. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have this gift that you've been given. But the real question is are you revealing that gift on a regular basis by serving other people in a way that glorifies God, that they connect the dots back to him? And we've learned over these last weeks that, you know, God is at work all around us. He's at work in this church. He's at work where you work. He's at work in your community. He's at work at your school. God is at work all around us in the world. And here's the great part. He's invited you and he's invited me to join him. Can you believe that? And he's given you a special ability to do just that. And so what we're going to talk about today is how we put all of that into action. I hope that most of us want to kind of end where David in the Bible ended. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, it simply said this of David: for David served God's purpose in his own generation, and then he fell asleep. Now think about that. Imagine that being said of you, that David served God's purpose in his own generation and he fell asleep. And so that's where we're aiming toward. Now, I don't know where you are today, but wherever you are today, and we want to get to that end goal, that finish line, there's a gap in between that. And so today we want to talk about how we kind of close that gap. And so in Romans chapter 12, we're going to turn our attention to the spiritual gifts and some things that will help you and help me put these things into action. Verse 4, Paul is writing, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function." In other words, you got a hand, you got a finger, you got eyes. "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Now, we read these, and there's, you can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, that kind of talks about gifts. We're going to talk a little bit about these gifts today. They're kind of sometimes called the motivating gifts. So you go, I'm looking at this preaching, prophesying, whatever you want to call it, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership. How does that work? I mean, how would that work in my life? Well, I want to tell the story. I kind of read a version of this week, and I think this would be good. Imagine if you're at Food Truck Wednesday night, and I highly encourage you to be there. It's going to be a fun night. It's one of our best nights of the year. And so you're with your crew, and you're having a conversation, and one of your crew goes over to Whole Scoop, and they're going to be there. Amen. And so you see them. They get that double scoop of chocolate ice cream and a waffle cone. Can you see it right now? I got you thinking about it. And so they're headed back over to your table, and about the time they get to your table, they trip. And one scoop goes this way, and one scoop goes that way, and the waffle cone comes towards you, and things are everywhere. What does it look like to have the spiritual gifts in action at that point? Well, the person who has, and I'll make this person look bad because it's me, if you have the gift of preaching and prophecy, what you would say to that person is, well, here's what happened. You reap what you sow, and you lost focus, and you tripped, and you suffered the consequences. That's the burden we have. If you had the gift of serving, you would say, hey, you just have a seat. I'll clean all this up. If you had the gift of teaching, you might look at that person and go, well, what happened is that Whole Scoop had that top scoop leaning to the right, and you began to go with it. And that's what happened. If you had the gift of encouragement, you would walk up to this person and go, no, that's okay. I've probably done that same thing before. If you had the gift of giving, you go, you have a seat. I'm going to get you another double scoop of chocolate and a waffle cone. I'll take care of it. That's why many of you don't think you have the gift of giving. Never crossed your mind. If you had the gift of leadership, you might go, hey, Jim, get the broom over here. Let's get the waffle cone pieces up so we don't have ants. And somebody else go get some water and wash off the ice cream if you had the gift of leadership. If you had the gift of mercy, you'd walk up to him and say, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? One event, all in action. So you have some of these gifts. And you go out into society and you go out to where you work, you serve here, you go to your community. How does that work out? Well, I don't know. It hadn't happened yet. But the question is what do you have to be aware of the situation when the ice cream flies? Well, there's some things that you have to have in your life or you're going to miss it. You'll walk around as a person who's been given a gift and you'll never be gifted. You'll never reveal it. One of the things I think that is essential for you to close the gap between where you are and where God wants you to be, that you kind of come to the point that it says of you that it said of David, is that you've got to have vision. You have to have a spiritual vision. I define vision this way: as a picture of what could be, should be, and what God wants it to be. A picture of what could be, what should be, and what God wants it to be. And I think if you're ever going to close the gap between where you are to where God wants you, you have to have that vision. You know, we've read in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, many times it says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He has something planned for you to do to join him in what he's doing in this world. It's interesting to me that I believe vision is a big part of that. What do you see? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, let us, you ought to underline this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So what are you thinking about? I mean, when is the last time you go, listen, I've really spent some time just thinking about how God might use the gift that he's given me, and I have a mental picture of what that could be, what it should be, and what God wants it to be. He's not trying to hide it. This is not a mystery. And so we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing? Because this is so important. You go, Jeff, I don't know if I've heard people talk about vision much. Vision is so important because it brings focus to your life. So you get up tomorrow morning, you don't know what to do. Guess what? If you have an understanding of your gift, you have an understanding of what God wants you to do, guess what? Decision time comes. If this pushes me toward my vision, it's a yes. If it pushes me away from my vision, it's a no. Is life that simple? It certainly simplifies a lot of decisions. If you understand what could be, should be, and what God wants to be in your life, then it simplifies those things. You say, well, how do I get it? Well, I think one of the things, you know, we started in the very first of this series, if you want to get a vision today, you'll never get a vision until you go all in. God's not looking for any advisors today. He's looking for players. He's not looking for advisors today. He's looking for players. And so we read in Romans chapter 12, when it talks about offer your bodies as living sacrifice. If you want to get a picture of what could be, the first thing that has to happen is you really have to make yourself available. And God knows today whether we're available or not. We can say whatever we want to. We can proclaim anything we want to proclaim today, and you won't know the difference. I could convince you of that. But God knows if I'm available. And so one of the things we have to do is simply say, if I want to have a vision, I've got to, first of all, commit and say, yes, Lord, now what is the question? The second thing I do, I talk to him a lot. I'd pray. I just talk to him a lot. I mean, Todd just led us in talking about we have the opportunity to talk to the King of Kings, who has control and dominion over everything. And guess what? He has control and dominion over your life and the vision he wants to give you. And so you spend time in prayer. Another thing that I would just challenge you to do, and it's the reason we're doing this series, is to be informed. You read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes to the church, and he says, I'm writing these things because I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to be aware that when you accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, he gave you a special ability to serve others for his glory. And so you'd be informed. Another thing, we talked about it last week, is you really need to decide who you're going to be before you decide what you're going to do. And make the decision today that you want things to grow in your life. You want humility, you want sincerity, you want passion to grow in your life, because if you don't have those things, then that spiritual gift will take you places that your character can't support. And then finally, if you really want that vision, you've got to have a burden and a conviction about, well, I don't know what it is, but that's your vision. There's something that God is going to show you, and this is, and you'll know you're getting close when you say, someone has to do something about that. That can't stay the way it is. And it may be about a group of people. Your passion, your burden, your conviction may be for, hey, somebody's got to love on these kids, these preschoolers, these GV kids, GV students. Somebody's got to reach out to those who are addicted. Somebody's got to do something about coming alongside our single moms. Somebody's got to do something about, it may be something you've been through. And you go, I've got to come alongside beside somebody else that they don't have to go through the same thing the same way that I did. But what you're going to do is you're going to get that vision, and you're going to begin to connect the dots back to God with that person and that group, that ministry, that opportunity. It's interesting, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, we didn't read all of it, and that I was going to read. It said, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so you're out there with this vision, this picture, this mental picture of what could be, should be, and what God wants it to be. You're not a lone ranger. That'd make you feel good. You're not a lone ranger. You're connected to the body. And so you have this vision of how God is going to use you and your special ability to serve others for his glory, that they connect the dots back to him and his family. And so if you want to close the gap between where you are and where God wants you to be, you've got to have a vision. I just ask you today, what's your vision? What's your mental picture that you have? Some of you got it, you've been afraid to tell anybody. Some of you got it, you've been afraid to do anything about it. And that leads us to the second thing, is if you are going to finish the way you want to finish, then you got to make the decision that you are going to be the one. You know that thought process? You ever had that thought, somebody needs to do something about that? You begin to close the gap, and when you realize that somebody's you. Somebody's you. I love it in Romans chapter 12. Did you read those verses where he talks about the spiritual gifts? He says, if it's prophesying, then what do you should do? Prophesy. If it's teaching, then you should what? Teach. If it's encouraged, then you should encourage. I love it. He just says, if it's this, then do this. If it's this, then do this. In other words, do it. That's very spiritual. And you got up early this morning for deep spiritual thoughts. And I'm telling you, you have to get up in the morning and go, you know what? I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one. Here's the interesting thing. You don't talk about this in church because this is contrary to what we try to do. You know, he's giving these spiritual gifts to this group of believers that he's writing to in Corinth and Rome, even in 1 Peter. There's no spiritual gifts class. There's no spiritual gifts survey. You know, we've offered that. And I don't know that he said, hey, there'll be a spiritual gifts list in the lobby like we've had for the last month. Now you're saying, Jeff, do we need to cancel all that? No. No, because we don't want you to be uninformed. But I think the emphasis is on do it. That God is not in the business of being mysterious about the special ability he's given you to serve others for his glory. I think we've kind of gotten all backwards, and we're waiting for somebody to pick us. And what I want to tell you today is pick yourself. Don't sit around in life waiting to get picked. Don't walk through life going, hey, nobody asked me. A lot of us, listen, can we have an honest moment? Because we went down this road. A lot of us are playing spiritual Red Rover, Red Rover. Y'all remember that game? How many of you remember Red Rover, Red Rover? We're about to see who's old up in here. There's a bunch of you. Y'all remember that game? Can you imagine they let us play that? Some of you are going, what? I saw the face over there. It's like, what is Red Rover? Y'all, can you imagine they let us play? Let's play the game. There's a good chance your arm's going to be broken. Let's play the game. If we don't break your arm, we're definitely going to dislocate your shoulder. And your teachers were organizing it back in the day, as they say, right? But you remember that game? You know, like, do y'all know what we're talking about? Okay. Y'all listen, I'm going to talk to them. So you would have these people that would join hands in a line. Oh, y'all got it, some of you. And then there'd be another line over there, and you'd go, Red Rover, Red Rover, send Jeff right over, and I'd try to bust through the line, or you could get clothesline. For that odd kid that got clothesline, you always felt bad for them. But I think a lot of us are doing that. We're joined hands. We're part of the church. Look at us all joined hands. We're one big happy family, and I'm just waiting for them to go, Red Rover, Red Rover, sin. Ain't nobody calling. Most of the time, nobody's going to pick you. You were never meant to be picked. You were created. You were saved. You were gifted. You were empowered. You were called. You were commissioned. You've been picked. And that's why he says, if your gift is prophesying, start preaching. If it's serving, start serving. If it's teaching, start teaching. If it's encouragement, start encouraging. If it's giving, start giving. If it's leadership, start leading. If it's mercy, show mercy. Do it. Because having a good idea, having a vision does not make you a visionary. It makes you a daydreamer. Right up into the fact and to the point that you do something about it. The difference is the action. How many of you feel like this? Because the Red Rover got everybody participating. Let's have audience participation. How many of you feel blessed today? Yeah. Why? Why would you feel blessed, and why are you blessed? And some of you are very, very good. You go, well, I'm just blessed to be a. Well, maybe you don't know. I was going to move on quickly from this point, but you've been blessed to be a blessing. You've been blessed to be a blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he tells us this. And he says, what's this got to do with spiritual gifts? Because he said it. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. In other words, to give an account of what you've been given. You've been blessed. You've been saved by grace. You've been gifted by grace. You've been empowered by grace. You've been graced. He says, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And so most everybody in here said they felt like they were blessed. You're blessed to do something about it. Now listen, many of us would say, well, Jeff, I would love to, I just don't feel like I can. I don't feel qualified. You're right. You can't. And you aren't qualified. But God is. And he says you are. It's interesting, and I was thinking about that because we kind of tend to take that route when we feel like, hey, man, can I really do something impactful? And we feel like, man, I can't. You know, if you follow along in the book of Acts, Peter and John are standing before the people who crucified Jesus, and they're preaching the gospel, and it says in verse 13, it says that when these religious people, they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You ever feel ordinary or a little unschooled or unqualified? You got good company. And it says that they saw their courage, they did something, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I want you to look around right now. We didn't have an opportunity to visit with people. I thought about stopping right now and allow you to visit with people. I thought it would get out of hand. And getting you back would be like herding cats or something. But look around right now. Just look around. Just look at the people next to you. Look right at the balcony. Wave at somebody you hadn't talked to today. You know there's someone here. Y'all see? Y'all looking? There. You know there's someone here who's going to do something that matters in the kingdom of God? That you may, it's not guaranteed, you may have just looked at someone who's going to do something that impacts the kingdom of God, and it will happen because they chose to do it. Nothing special, nothing unique, just a follower of Jesus Christ, given a special ability by God to serve others for his glory. They got a mental picture of how that might work out, and then they did it. They did it. Third thing that you're going to close the gap from where you are to where God wants you to be today is, if it's going to happen, it's going to have to be a priority in your life. It will not happen by accident. You will not get to the end of your life and go, well, looky there. I served God's purpose in my own generation and I fell asleep. I can't believe it happened. No, it will happen because you had a picture of it, you chose to do it, and you made it a priority. And I read a blog or something this week and I got the idea. Unfortunately, we don't have it a priority when it comes to the things of God. It'd be like me if I called you this week, and if I call you this week, you're going to go, I'm not taking your call. But it's like if I called you this week and said, listen, and this happens. And I said, listen, I want to talk to you about something. There's something I feel like that God has gifted you for. There's a role that he's got you, I think, perfectly situated for. You know, we need you. But I just want to go ahead and be up front with you and tell you up front that, listen, you got to be committed. It's got to be a priority. You got to be here. You got to be present. You got to be ready. You got to have a standard of excellence. You got to do it with a kingdom focus. And if I pressed you hard enough, and I've done that to some of you, you're going, I just had this call with you. If I pressed you hard enough, you know what some of you do? Because this happens. You go, now, Jeff, Pastor, I appreciate you calling me. And I appreciate you kind of having this conversation with me, but now you're pressing a little hard. And I just want you to know, I know that I'm the church, that I've been gifted. And so I can serve God anywhere, and I can worship God anywhere. And I don't want you kind of pressing me and being legalistic and saying, you know, it's got to be at the church or through the church. Okay. That same person would get a call the next day or the next day from their kid's coach or their dance leader or their cheerleader and say to the guy, the woman, and say, listen, we've talked about this in the past, but I want to go over it again, that because you're part of this team, I just want to remind you, you have to be at every practice and you have to be at every game, and if you're not, it's going to affect your playing time, and I just want to remind you that your team needs you. That same person that I called, that the coach called, would say to the coach, don't you worry about it, we'll be there. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? You go, well, maybe you need to have the coach call your people for you. You know what the difference is? Priority. Priority. Now, I know some of you are very good. You'll go, now, Jeff, I'm trying to be a Christian in the marketplace, and we pray on the mound. We have devotion for the game. You've been bamboozled. You need to look in the mirror and say, my priorities are out of whack. If any of that comes close to you, it's a priority issue. Now, I know clarity is irritating. Well, you've established that. But it's a priority issue. That's why Ephesians chapter 5 says this, and It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Everybody didn't think like God. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's an issue of priority. It's the issue of letting go of some things. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God's got a plan for you. Isn't it interesting? He says, listen, there's two things that can keep you from going from where you are to where you could be. He says, there are sin, and we're not going to get into that, right? We know what that is. But then he says, the things that hinder us. What's he talking about? He's talking about issues of priority. Not bad things, just issues of priority. And so you have to understand, if you're going to move from where you are to where God wants you to be, and if you're going to be impactful for the kingdom of God, you're going to have to change your priorities maybe. And simply say, you know what? God's given me opportunities, and I keep on praying for opportunities and praying for opportunities. And what I probably need to pray for is clarity to see things as God sees them. To see my time and my talent and my schedule and my energy from his viewpoint, and not be a fool. Then finally, if you want to move from where you are to where God wants you and make an impact for the kingdom of God, commit to finish. Everybody in here, listen to me, everybody in here is going to end. The only question is, are you going to be finished? It didn't say, for God, David served God's purpose in his own generation and he fell asleep. It didn't say, for David died. What he's telling you is David finished. Everybody's going to end. The only question is are you going to finish? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. For some of you, it's time to get in. It's time to do it. For some of you, let's just be honest, it's time for you to get back in. You are in a season that you kind of stepped out. You've retired. You don't ever retire from God's purposes. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. So, how cool is it that God is at work all around you, and he's invited you to join him? That's pretty good. Let's pray together.